Hello and welcome. Ronnie's Own Media and RonnieZone.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen and knitters, welcome to another episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. I am one of your hosts and one of your facilitators, Jeff Roney.
Woohoo!
And I am joined by the wondrous, the lovely, the beautiful...
Careful now.
What?
Too much flattery there, honey.
Okay, well...
But I'm Colleen Roney.
Yes, the knitter.
Yes, I'm learning. I'm a beginner.
She is knitting while she's talking.
I am, because I thought it would be a fun little thing to say, hey, I'm knitting. Well, I'm doing this because I just started knitting because of the show and because of some of our listeners who also knit.
Yes.
And, you know, Caitlin, who we did the interview with, too.
That is true. Now, I want to kind of touch on a few things. First of all, I want to say big thank. First, let me say this first. We, you and I,
yes,
are not the show. No way.
Well, we're a part of it. We're just not the whole. It's not,
Not just us,
right?
And I think some people have this idea that the people that record and the people that turn on the mic, that it's all about them.
No.
Let me explain. This show is not just about us talking.
Nope.
And I know there's a few people that are happy about that. Some aren't, but some people
apparently wish that it was just one of us talking.
Yeah. So, but anyhow, we have wonderful, fabulous listeners that really go above and beyond.
We do.
And help us out, jump in, just fantastic. So I want to run down a few. I know I may leave some people out, but I got to say a few. Trista gets a star for the week, at least a week, because she has stepped in to be the moderator of the forum, and the spammers are coming on strong.
Wow.
And she has got that bad fairy dust, and she goes around and knocks those spammers out.
Nice.
She's got banning power. She's got all kinds of power.
Good stuff.
We're going to figure out how to kind of limit it more and more. I've got to do a little research, and Trista maybe is going to check on a few things, but she is doing a fantastic job just overseeing it. I mean, it's just getting it set up was tough, but overseeing it moving forward, that's tougher. So I got to give big props, gold star, to Trista for really helping out. It's been fantastic.
And yay.
I know it's been tough, and there's been some little snags here and there, but we're working through them.
That's
and she's
okay.
Great.
And that's awesome. So thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And a little deputy Nat, Natasha and Deputy Malini have been fantastic. And we're going to have a little special voicemail from them.
Yay.
So that's really cool. I heard just a little bit. I didn't hear the whole thing.
Awesome.
But they've been helping out with retweeting and sharing that they're listening to the episode. A couple of other folks have been doing that as well. I really, really, really appreciate it.
More than you know. So. We do. And we talk about this all the time, how much we love our Twitter followers, but also our podcast listeners and our blog, you know, posters and commenters, I should say, not so much posters.
Yeah.
But we love the folks that come and join us on our little journey as we watch Once Upon a Time.
Yep. So thank you. I got to say a big thank you to Ken, our man in Steveston.
Yeah.
Ken. And he is fantastic. He helps me out with the Storybrooke map page and just
awesome
stuff in general. He's always saying kind words about us, and he enjoys the kind verbal fencing that we have here and there. So it's a fun thing. And but I got to give props to Ken, because it is so incredible for a show like ours to have somebody that actually lives there. And I'm going to do a blog post, and it's going to blow people away, because it's 6 degrees of separation, kind of like Kevin Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
So Ken calls it 6 degrees of separation from Storybrooke.
Nice.
Because he has some connections to some things. So
6 degrees of Storybrooke.
Yeah.
That's how, it's usually 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. But anyway, 6 degrees of Storybrooke. Yay.
So if you have the opportunity to, I know Ken comments a lot on the forum. Or I'm sorry, on the blog.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and show him some love and just reply and say, thanks, Ken, for all you do, because he is really, really cool. And I really appreciate him so much. So
nice.
What I think is really interesting is the commenters on the blog is almost like a different group than the commenters on the forum. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, because it is really incredible to kind of see how the little groups kind of communicate and interact and all this. So this is a really neat kind of a city, almost a group and communities that kind of build up and interact and stuff and share. It's really, really incredible to kind of watch the whole thing.
Zone.
Yeah. Well,
seriously, it's a little zone, right, of all the little Roni peeps.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So
I'm just saying, I'm being kind of silly tonight. So if I do and say weird things, don't worry. It's just because I'm feeling silly.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll be more silly for the live show. But anyway, because you were silly the other day. So.
I was.
Yeah.
I'm not quite that silly, but I might say some really off the wall things that people will be like, wait, what did she just say? I don't know. We'll see. Keep going.
Yep. So I want to give you some information. There have been little changes here and there, and I want to let you know about them. So we're going to give Wayne, the voice of Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, the week off, and I'm going to do the announcing of the information here. So our podcast website is onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Yep.
Our blog is aclosserlook.ronyzone.com.
Mm-hmm.
Our email is new. It's feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. So it's all kind of the same.
Wow, bless you.
Our voicemail is 657-333-0626. Our Twitter address is @OUATpodcast.
Right.
And on Facebook, it is at facebook.com/OUATpodcast.
Nice.
So that's that.
So really the only thing that has changed, so to speak, is the email address.
Yep, the email.
Okay.
It matches the website. So there you go. So that's excellent. What we're going to be using from here on out.
Excellent.
So let's talk about just a couple of things. I really, really enjoy our first thoughts. I was kind of leery about it at first.
I think didn't a lot know of people do too.
How I just didn't know how it would work.
Yeah.
But people seem to enjoy it, and we get just boatloads of downloads. So
we do.
Thank you, by the way.
We do, and that's awesome.
So
And I have a confession. This last week, I wasn't paying – I mean, I was paying attention, but I wasn't paying as close attention as I normally do to the show. So when we did First Thoughts, I was kind of like winging it. I'm just being honest and saying it. But we watched it again tonight, and that's fantastic.
So I don't know who noticed, but the O in once is actually a lens.
Yes, like a camera lens or a spyglass lens.
Possibly, yeah.
Which is funny because I totally did not notice that till you pointed it out and we had to rewind. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I probably noticed it, but I didn't like file that away. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I noticed that the limbs bent differently,
right,
as it went past the trees,
which would be in my mind a way of explaining that there's two worlds. So it's like showing you the slightly different bent on it. You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying?
It may be some kind of a Easter egg or something,
Right.
For the future. But
that's just the thing that came to my head when you said
that. The thing that would be a perfect fit to me would be the mirror. If it was a mirror, but.
Well, sure, anyway. Sure. And yeah. So anyway.
Now, I have not verified this, so I could be wrong. We could call this the I Could Be Wrong segment. Actually, I've been wrong a lot this week. And Natasha and Malini have helped out. But yes. Anyway, I think that Mary Margaret was reading Moby Dick.
Oh.
In the diner.
Wow, I wasn't paying attention to the book. But what prompted you to think that, though?
Because it looked like a whale to me. Looked like...
Oh, on the front cover, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, well, she might have been.
I need to get a screenshot. I need more hours in the week to do screenshots.
That's to do more of everything.
So...
You know, if work didn't get in the way.
Yeah. So, I guess the one thing I didn't really talk much about in... I think I may have mentioned in the first thoughts, but I really watched again, is the awesome acting of Jennifer Goodwin.
Oh.
The entire episode, I think, she was hitting home run after home run after home run. It just... Her face in Granny's Diner...
Mm-hmm.
And it was just incredible. And
you mean at the beginning of the show when she was waiting for him to come into the diner?
Right.
And then when she saw him and she had that look, that happy look, and then all of a sudden it went real sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's good at that.
So, but it was really, really, really good. And so the big question is, how did Snow help Red? What was that all about?
Exactly. I totally missed that last time. So I'm glad I saw that because now I'm really curious. What exactly did she help her with?
So Rumpelstiltskin knew the fairest of them all thing.
He had heard that, obviously, from the magic mirror, right?
Well.
You think? Unless the people.
It was well known.
I'm sure it was well known, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, because that's why she left.
Right.
Yeah. So the scene where Snow White was sitting on the log outside of the cabin.
Oh, right. And she
with
was
the flowers there.
Yeah, looking
probably at the prettiest scene I think I've ever seen in a long time. Really, really.
The scenery, you mean? The background?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Just gorgeous.
Very calming, very, peaceful.
I have a weird theory.
Do you? I want to hear a weird theory.
I think the mysterious stranger is there to rewrite their stories.
Okay, that's really weird that you would say that, because you know what I thought when I saw it again? I'm like, when he said something about this town inspires me.
Right.
I went, he's finishing the book.
Hmm.
He's finishing the book. Maybe he started it and maybe he's finishing it. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
somehow he would have, if he wrote the book, I'm just saying.
Well,
I think he's there. I think he wrote the book. I think he wrote the book, and I think he's there to finish the book.
There are some clues that I think they threw out there for him to be Henry's father, because he was speaking very succinctly about Henry and about kids, because he was saying, well, you mean Henry's precocious? You mean Henry asks questions? You mean Henry's interested? And you know what I mean? Like he knew Henry.
I didn't get that. That's not what I got out of it. But what I did get was that it was a way for him to continue writing the book, end of the book.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
And
if he wrote the book, he knows the character, right? Henry may or may not be in the book, and maybe he was planning to write Henry into the book. And so for him, he was explaining his characteristics because he wrote Henry.
Hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, too, that Emma lied to the mysterious stranger.
Lied to him.
Yeah, because he said, well, you want to know what's in the box, right? And she says, no.
But then she said, maybe a little bit.
Right.
I don't think she was lying to him. Okay. I think she was trying to, pass it off, I don't care. Because reverse psychology typically works.
Yeah.
But then she realized with him, it probably wouldn't work.
So
that's just my thinking.
Here's another thing that I think kind of separates this Snow White from the Snow White that we remember from Disney,
mm-hmm.
is Snow White kills and eats animals. That was pretty clear this time when I watched it.
Well,
I went, wow. No, because normally, we don't really get that. she cares for all animals, and she does. I'm not saying she doesn't.
Yeah.
But she also has this, you know, survival streak of I gotta take out that turkey.
Because in her mind, remember, she was shocked when Red said it had been a month.
Right.
Which means Red had come back with supplies for about a month, right? Food supplies, isn't mm-hmm. that what she brought her? Mm-hmm. So if she didn't think she was coming back for a while, she was probably going, I got to fend for myself. That's just what I think.
Right.
I could be wrong, but that's what I think. And I think the whole reason I thought it was interesting that it was a turkey. Mm-hmm. It was a big old bird.
Right.
That would have lasted her a month. In theory, you know what I'm saying.
So Jiminy's parents reminded me a little of Rumpelstiltskin in that Rumpelstiltskin got some of the swamp water and they just kind of did some mysterious whatever. And I keep...
Do you mean that Rumpelstiltskin, his thing in the boat reminded you of Jiminy's parents?
Just the idea that normal water was taken and he just kind of basically fooled her and... You know, maybe it was a placebo. I don't know. The swamp water, because that's what they did. They just kind of
got some water. I thought they got rainwater.
Yeah.
Right? But their rainwater was just plain old water. It was not in a clear bottle. And when he did it, she said, that's it? And he said, no, not even. And But he was waiting for it to turn cloudy. Which means there was some sort of magical infusion to it somehow. Because it was perfectly clear when he pulled it out of the lake. And then it was cloudy. And then right. he pulled her hair.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What does he want her hair for? Do you think?
The evil queen demanded hair.
She did?
For what? Yeah.
Okay.
A lock of hair from the darkest of souls. And that was part of what she did for
the curse.
Right.
So I wonder if he's now. See, my thinking is I think he needs her hair to do a reverse spell. Because if he used her hair to make the
right.
potion for her to forget, maybe he's going to make the potion for her to remember.
Well, I think he also has hair to deal with the evil queen.
Well, that could be too. Maybe it's a little bit of both. I am just saying.
So the bird caught in the net.
Yes.
Was kind of. Who put it there? It's kind of interesting. Did Mr. Gold put it there?
Because it didn't. Sure. It didn't look like it really flew into that. And if that one had flown into, why didn't any others? You know what I mean? Why that one?
Right.
I'm saying if it was following and sticking with its flock, wouldn't it have avoided that? Do you know what I mean?
So
wouldn't have got itself caught in the trap.
So what were the two situations that stopped Snow White from drinking the potion? Do you remember?
Well, the first one was Grumpy.
Nope.
No.
Nope. I can hear Melanie and Natasha screaming right now.
Oh, I know. It was the letter from James.
Well, the dove.
The letter from James. The dove brought the letter from James. Right. So that was the dove first didn't time. Stop her. Mm-hmm. It was the letter that stopped her. Because I think if the dove had just kind of sat there, I don't think she would have cared. And she would have kept going. She would have drank it. But the letter from James is what stopped her.
Yep. Doc made sleeping gas.
Yes, he did.
So he's the first good character that's creating these kind of
potions
and things. Yeah.
Well, I wonder why they call him Doc.
Well, but I'm just telling you, we have not
that's true.
Heard
we
of
not,
such
we have
things.
Not, we have not. You're absolutely right. No, none of the good characters, quote unquote, have done stuff like that.
And Mary Margaret reminds me of the shepherd caring about one creature.
Yeah.
Because the shepherd went and got the one sheep.
And it wasn't one creature necessarily, because remember, like you just said, and like we just talked about, she was ready to kill the turkey with the spear, mm-hmm. which I thought was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it was that she cared about a helpless creature.
Right.
One who was trapped of her, you know, not of her own doing.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about Mary Margaret and Snow White.
That's right. But that's what I'm
opposite.
Well,
yeah.
they're okay. not. No, they're not opposite. Well, it's the same character. It's the same person.
Okay.
It's the same person.
All right. So I think that King George's guard is the animal doctor.
Yes.
In Storybrooke.
The main guard. It looked exactly like him.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that was him. But we'll have to look at... I tried to look at the credits, but we weren't... We were kind of going through that pretty quick, so...
Yep. So I don't think I mentioned it in the first thoughts, but the breakup mm-hmm. that Snow White threw down...
Yeah.
For old Prince Charming, poor James.
Mm-hmm.
He, that reminded me of high school. You know, go find someone. It's not me. Go find someone and give your love to that person and go live your life. It was like, oh man, I've heard that a few times before. It was just,
have you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I'm not though.
Right.
Because then I wouldn't be with you.
And then I married somebody that became a knitter.
You did.
Yep. So Snow, when she drank the potion and forgot Prince Charming.
Yep.
I mean, that's like some of the newer movie ideas that are out there right now. Like this one, was it Rachel McAdams, right? Starring in one where she was...
Kristen Stewart
is no, in one of them? No.
Kristen Stewart is in one of the Snow White's men.
No. Hold on.
You're not talking about Snow White movies.
No.
You're talking about the romantic movies, Rachel McAdams in The Vow, where
right.
she forgets her husband.
Right.
I see what you're saying.
Yes, and 51st Dates and other movies where
sure.
the women forget.
And they have to fall
in love. Can't remember.
Right. They can't remember and they have to fall in love with their
right.
mate or their spouse or their guy all over again.
What? Yep. So, anyway, instead of looking at this as like a sad, awful thing, it may actually be a pretty cool thing.
I think you're right. I think it actually will be a pretty cool thing.
Because then she can really kind of settle in and be, you know, the dorm mom of the dwarves. And
yep.
And then at some point later on, you know, she can kind of meet James and
see,
who are you again?
See, now what I think is, because Grumpy knows who it was, right? Didn't she tell him who it was that she was in love? She didn't say.
Nope.
So basically, oh no, he did. Yes, she did. Here's why. Because what did he say to her when he ran in the house? The wedding's off.
Right. No, you're right. Okay. All right.
So here's my thinking. I just wonder if in fact, now that she can't remember, that's why the dwarves are going to go. They're going to help her remember somehow.
Hmm.
They're going to help her.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm making a lot of assumptions right now, too.
Yeah.
I feel very sassy right now, and I don't even care.
Well, you got needles in your hands, too, and I'm kind of scared about that.
No, don't worry about it. They're not pokey.
All right. So, anyway, one more little plug, and then we'll go into our voicemails, yeah. is that you have got to check out the Storybrooke map page on the website. You have to. And, oh, I forgot two of the cool things that happened this week.
Oh,
so
well, let's talk about that.
Ken has really helped out a whole bunch. And just about every location has a Google Maps view.
Dude.
That you can click on it, and it'll bring up this Google view that you can 360. You can turn around. You can zoom in and take a look. Now, obviously, it's a shop that's in Steveston.
Mm-hmm.
But the shop's... don't change all that much. I mean, the sign changes,
but I don't think the facades change.
But I mean, isn't that awesome that you can actually look at a store and say, man, I saw that in Once Upon a Time.
You could be virtually in Steveston.
Right.
Or, I mean, Storybrooke.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, anyway, thanks so much, Ken. And one of the coolest things ever this week is, I don't know if you've ever heard of it's a syndicated... a news show. It's called The Daily Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And on this show is a funny weather guy. His name is Mitch.
English. Yes.
And sorry, Mitch. I knew, but I just so many things in my head. Mitch English is a funny cat. And if you don't believe me, just go on YouTube and look around. Mitch English, Daily Buzz. There's some funny, funny stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
And, so anyway, I've been following Mitch for a long time on Twitter. We've been kind of tweeting back and forth and different things. And he actually tweeted out it's basically a collection of things that he wants to retweet. And they create what's called a Twitter paper. It's called paper.li. And it's like a page with different links that he found in his Twitter followers. And one of them was a Storybrooke map. And I just want to thank Mitch. That's really, really cool. So
awesome.
And the second thing is there's an awesome radio station that's in Minnesota, Twin Cities. It's called My Talk 107.1. And so this week I was looking down, and I always look probably too obsessively at where the links are coming from to the main site. And I looked down and I saw My Talk 107.1. And I went, that's weird. What's that? And I clicked, and there's a great show. It's called Jason, the Jason and Alexis Show. Mm-hmm. And Alexis is a oncer. She loves Once Upon a Time.
Nice.
And she really wanted to find the Emma Blanket instructions.
Pattern, yeah.
And she found it. And then when she found that, because I believe she went on Ravelry. Mm-hmm. When she found the pattern, she also found the interview and with linked Caitlin to our interview.
Nice.
So, I mean, you know, and that's the difference with what this podcast and what this website is I really want to do some different, innovative things, just different. So the interview with Caitlin, I knew was a great idea from the very beginning.
From the beginning, yeah. So, oh, yeah.
So Jason and Alexis, thank you so much if you're listening. And I put up a blog post to go over there and share your love and let them know that, you know, the Once Upon a Time fan podcast thanks them very much.
Yay.
So we're going to play some voicemails and really get this show going.
Okay.
Because I know you're knitting up a storm.
I'm here. There. Have I been distracted? No. Okay. I've been very present in what we're doing. I'm doing two things. I can multitask. Please proceed.
All right. Here we go.
Hi. Good morning, Colleen and Jeff. This is Karen from Maryland. And I was listening to one of your podcasts on the way in to work this morning. Something caught my attention or flashed in my mind. Mary Margaret is wearing Prince Charming's ring. And we all know that they're destined to be together. We don't know how that happened yet. I'm thinking that Prince Charming's mother, who gave him the ring, said something about it creating love or something. You have to go back and check that quote. But what if it did? What if there is a spell on that ring and the first woman that puts it on is his trust? Therefore, we don't know how it doesn't work out with the other woman, with the princess, what's her name, but it doesn't. So there's that attraction built in with the spell that was on the ring. Just a brief little idea. Tell me what you think. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Karen.
Yeah, thanks, Karen.
Thanks so much for the call. And what's interesting about the whole relationship thing in Once Upon a Time is sometimes people who don't want to be together are pushed together.
Yep.
And the people that do want to be together
are kept apart.
Something bad happens and they're kept apart. So it's Greek tragedy all over the place.
It is indeed. But here's the thing. Okay, so I kind of I don't know about the spell part. I mean, I certainly see that as being very plausible. But I do think there is something to the fact that his mother was right and said that this is the path to true love or something to that effect. It was something about path and true love, if I remember right. Do you remember that?
Well, the key that says the ring
leads you to true love. Okay. So that being the case, Mary Margaret was the first person to put it on, right? She had it on her finger before Abigail ever did, right? In the forest when they were after the troll bridge.
Right? Right.
So that being the case, Mary Margaret or Snow White is his true love, of course, which we kind of already knew anyway. But I'm thinking that even if he did end up giving that to Abigail, I somehow don't think he did. Or maybe he did, he tried to, and she thought it was not good enough for her. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And demanded something better, and maybe her father gave her something different. And that's why Mary Margaret has it, because I'm kind of thinking we're going to see that it ended up somehow in Mr. Gold's shop. Or, even more interesting and intriguing, would be if there's a jewelry store in town, and James's mother is the owner of the shop lady. Well, and she sold it to Mary Margaret. or gave it to her or something. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, because we know that Mary Margaret has it.
Yes, we do.
And some crazy person named Jeff thinks that even Regina has one as well.
Yeah, she had a
but,
ring.
But I remember, but anyway. I remember. I guess somebody said that Lana actually picked that ring out, and it was just kind of a fluke or something.
Yeah, it's possible.
So anyway, but yeah, no, that's certainly. I mean, it's true, and I really didn't even think about it. But the first person that wore the ring
was Snow White.
And it wasn't Abigail.
Nope.
So, and that is. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. We know that's why she's his destiny, quote unquote. And I'm thinking that James's mother somehow, well, in real world, maybe gave that to Snow White, sold it to her, et cetera, et cetera.
I still think we
or should. Or turned it into Mr. Gold, and he in turn sold it to Snow White.
We still need to bring up the idea that the Miller's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
We never met the Miller's daughter in Fairy Tale Land.
Not yet.
Well, right. And so I often wondered about that. Just, you know, whatever happened and how we're going to
see more of that. Here's the thing. So. Yeah, that'll be interesting to figure that out because we don't know how much time has passed since between 7:15 a.m.
Right.
And the shepherd, right? We have no idea.
Right.
Because at that point in time, the Miller's daughter could have been Regina.
Right.
But again, he met Snow White, so Snow White was already on the run from Regina. Now that puts a monkey wrench in all of our theory, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
All right. Thanks again, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
Here's the next voicemail.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Lisa from Salt Lake City. I'm calling belatedly about some feedback from the end of last week's episode, True North. First, I want to thank you for your great podcast and all the work that you do. I really love how you've just created a community around the show, and I think it's great learning from everybody. And I always learn something new when I listen, so that's great. And I especially just love your mention of Star Wars and how on the dark side there's usually a master and not an apprentice, and I don't know. The Evil Queen seems really mean and doesn't really want to share the spotlight, but you never know with her. So I noticed at the end of True North where our mystery strangers come to town, wondering could he maybe be the Pied Piper? I haven't checked my Grimm fairy tales yet, which I probably should have done before I called. So I thought maybe that could be interesting, especially someone new coming into town and shaking up the balance a little bit. I don't think he knows Emma at all. But you never know, I guess. Looking forward to a great episode tonight. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa. That's an interesting theory.
Now, because a lot of people have been asking, I know Mason in Oregon is asking about the animals and all this. Mm-hmm. We really haven't seen a whole bunch. And I always kind of go, my throwaway line is, well, the animal shelter. Well, there's animals in there. But, I mean, that is a really valid point, is the farther we go into this story, we kind of see another one and a wolf here and this and that.
Right.
And
doves,
now we see a dove.
Turkeys.
And, you know, so it's starting to kind of, you know, and being enveloped by different types of animals.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I mean, the Pied Piper is an option. I mean, but it's really kind of cool to watch the show and then kind of think about all the different stories, you know, well, whether you're well read on them or not, it's still, yeah. it's a fun way to do that. So,
well, and like we've said before, look, they've taken some serious liberties with these stories. So while some of the characters and some of the stuff is, you know, weird, it's familiar, they've taken little twists on things here and there. So that's not to say that what we know to be true isn't reality and that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Just be careful of the mic.
I'm being careful.
All right. So anyway, I also had a couple of Indiana Jones moments when Mary Margaret was hanging by that root.
Oh, yeah.
Over the cliff.
Yeah.
And the root, like, gave way about a half a foot or a foot. And I said, that reminds me of Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then when David came up. And grabbed her. It was like Sean Connery pulling up Indiana Jones out of the chasm
of
the thing. So, anyway, it's just two Indiana Jones moments. So,
yes,
thanks so much, Lisa. Very much. We got to keep the Star Wars fans together. And boy, we got episode one coming. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. Yeah, okay, here's another voicemail.
Hey guys, it's Tyler from Seattle, and after watching tonight's episode, I am left wondering whose house / cottage were they in. It looked similar to what I thought I saw as the dwarf's cottage, but I'm not positive it's theirs. But just wanted to bring that up. You know, I'm not sure whose it is. And hey, what do you know? As I'm speaking, the new episode of the show is downloading in iTunes. That's awesome. Title of the season pass. And I love seeing Grumpy tonight. Lee Ehrenberger is amazing. So I was glad to see him. But the other thing I was thinking of was the mystery man. I know you said you don't think he's the writer of the book, but I'm trying to think who in the fairy tale could be a writer besides that. I'm thinking he might be someone's like scribe, like a town scribe kind of a thing. That's my theory on him for now. Otherwise, I think he is the book writer. It's too obvious, but you never know. They might actually go that route. And the you said something about a Chinese restaurant. I didn't catch that in the show, so I'll rewatch the show again. But I wanted to bring up that if Mulan might be in the show, I really hope we get Ming-Na to play Mulan for a few reasons. One, because she was a main character in Stargate Universe alongside Robert Carlyle, so it'd be kind of nice to see them work together again. And I know she's a great actress. And the other reason is because she was actually the original voice of Mulan, so it'd be kind of nice to see that happen. I know they didn't do that with Belle or Ariel. They actually didn't take my choices for either of those. I would have probably gone with Paige O'Hara as Belle, just to, you know, kind of give her that right. And I would have picked Amy Adams for Ariel because she is hilarious and redheaded, but she might be too big of a name, but I think they could probably get Ming-Na or Mulan if they tried. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed on that. And otherwise, have a wonderful week. I'll be rewatching that episode at least two more times because it was so wonderful. And right now I'm just listening to Disney music. Oh, and if you guys do the live episode from In the Park.
Let's see. Hold on, Tyler. Let me see.
Did it cut off or did his phone cut off?
Cut off. Here, I think here's the rest of it.
Okay.
Here we go.
Hey, it's Tyler again. I got cut off as I was in the middle of it, but you had mentioned in the live episode about doing a live episode from inside Disneyland, and I think if you're going to do that, you got to go all the way and not just do it live at Disneyland, but I think you have to actually go and do it from inside Fantasyland, like right in the middle there, maybe even from like right next to the castle, like at Snow White's Wishing Well. Could be kind of fun. And if it's not under the knife at this point, then maybe there's a Princess Fantasy Fair is going to be relocated to the Plaza Gardens area. So just wanted to throw that out there as an idea because I think it'd be pretty cool if it was done from Fantasyland because Fantasyland is the most related to this show. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
Thank you. And
thanks, Tyler.
Just to kind of clarify some, I did not really say that I was going to do a live show from Disneyland, but I do have a recorder and I was going to record some remote stuff there.
Yeah. I don't know if we could do a full live
during
show.
The meetup. Well, not at this point.
No.
Well, once I win the lottery, we probably do whatever we want.
Well, no, I was going to say, because I mean, it'd be really hard to do an actual live show,
right?
But having some recordable stuff would be fun. Anywho.
So do we have any more information about the meetup at Disneyland that you were
talking was
about?
Looking at the calendar, and I think the second week of August, like the weekend was either the 11th and 12th, or maybe the 18th, 19th. I have to look at it again. But I think the second or third week of August might be a really good time. Depends on, I mean, we're fine with that. I think that if we can just schedule that, that's what I think will make the unofficial.
Okay.
The unofficial
day. It's going to be a little warm maybe, but it's okay.
It depends. I don't know. It depends on how our summer goes. If our summer starts early, it won't be that bad. If our summer starts late, it might be a little warm, but hey, you know what? There's always Splash Mountain.
That's true.
And Grizzly River Run. So trust me, we'll stay cool.
So yeah, Tyler mentioned that the Hansel and Gretel Witch House, I don't think that was the dwarf house. I don't think so.
No, their house looks more like a cave. And I thought, was he talking about the dwarf house? I thought he was talking about the cabin where Mary, Margaret, and David ended up.
Let's see.
Seriously, I didn't hear the Hansel Gretel house, but maybe I missed it. Are you replaying it?
Hey guys, it's Tyler from Seattle, and after watching tonight's episode, I am left wondering whose house / cottage were they in? It looked similar to what I thought I saw as the dwarf's cottage, but I'm not positive it's theirs.
I don't think it was.
No, because I think their little cottage was more like inside a tree almost. It felt like it was inside a tree.
Well,
but where I think, you know what I think that cottage is, that the cabin that Mary Margaret and David ended up in was actually Snow White's cabin. That's why we kept seeing it in the background. Where she was sitting on the log, it's her cabin.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying? I'm pretty confident of that because I noted that and I'm like, oh, look, that's Snow White's cabin. How convenient that they end up in Snow White's cabin. That's the point.
Okay. So, and you're actually inferring too that there are portal points, kind of like the Troll Bridge, Toll Bridge.
Yep.
Now Snow White's cabin.
Well, yeah.
So.
Because if they fell in love at the Troll Bridge, so to speak, right? And then she was sad at the cabin. Mary Margaret was pretty darn sad when, you know, that whole thing went down, right? I'm just saying.
But yeah, that's a good choice. I did not know that actress was in Stargate Universe. And that would be very interesting to have her.
Oh, Ming-Na?
Robert Carlyle.
Exactly. Well, and as she was the voice of Mulan, here's where I think they didn't go with Paige O'Hara and with, like, say, Jodie Benson for Little Mermaid. While it would have been cool to have the voice actresses, those movies were made a while ago. Mm. And if you remember, most of these characters should be in their early 20s. And I'm afraid to tell this. I'm going to show my age a little bit. Those ladies are my age. And actually, I think one of them is actually older than I am. Mm. But they're right around my age. Point is, they're. I'm just going to say they're not – they don't – I don't think they can pass for 20 anymore. I certainly can't.
Yeah. Well, we had a great voicemail not too long ago that actually was discussing the ages of the actresses that they have put in places, the different ones. And it's at the classic age of the stories as they were written. So
it's kind of interesting. Ming-Na looks very young. She, I think, could pass for Mulan. I think she could easily pass for it. For as far as, you know, the fact that they've got Emily DeRavin, she's perfect age for that because she's a young actress. And then for The Little Mermaid, it would have been awesome to have had Amy Adams. Well, I think she would have been fantastic. Okay.
Let's not go into the age discussion.
Let's
just say that they cast who they felt would be best.
Look, I'm not trying to be disparaging against anybody, but I'm telling you that based upon how they've been doing this, that's where my thought is. That's why they probably didn't go that route. And maybe those girls weren't available. Maybe they didn't want to do it.
Okay.
But what I'm saying, too, is I do agree with his choice where I think Amy Adams would have been awesome. But I think she's just – I don't know if she – well, you never know. I mean, you just never know. She may be too busy doing something else, or maybe they've got somebody else in mind. So that's all I'm saying.
Yep. And here's another voicemail.
Hi, this is Michelle from Brooklyn, New York. I just wanted to give you a couple of my opinions, and I wanted to thank you for having such a great podcast. So the first thing that I was thinking about when I saw the last episode, when Rumpel took the strand of hair from Snow White, well, we've seen someone use hair before in a spell, right? So in the episode with the Evil Queen, she had all of the those evil characters take a little strand of hair, and she used it in some of her magic. So I'm thinking that strand of hair from Snow White is going to end up in hands of the Queen. So that's one thing. Another thing, my theory about the Mystery Man, I do think he is the writer of the fairy tale book, and I also think that he is the 7-year-old child that discovered Emma on the side of the road. And I think that because he had an encounter with the fairy tale world, he is able to go in and out of Storybrooke. And the last thing that I'm speculating on is about Grumpy, and he was swindled in a diamond deal. And the chief swindlers that I've seen are Jiminy Cricket's parents. Mm. So those are my theories, and I hope to hear from you guys again. This is Michelle from Brooklyn. Bye.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks so much for calling in.
That's awesome.
That's a great theory, yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, I think she's spot on with a few of those little theories there. Because honestly, those are the things I've been thinking too.
Yeah.
Not that I'm right, but I like that she agrees with me.
Well, and, you know, the hair is absolutely right.
Oh, definitely.
And, you know, the connection that the mysterious man has to Emma,
it would explain, she's absolutely right. It would explain why he can come and go in Storybrooke when nobody else really can.
Right. And he could be the author, for sure. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I've been wrong before.
He is.
So, you know.
I told you I'm feeling very sassy tonight. You can tell, huh?
Just please don't drop the knitting needle again. We have to apologize. Tyler, sorry. She dropped her knitting needle on the table over here.
I didn't drop it on the table. I dropped it on my chair.
Okay. All right. Sorry, Tyler, because she dropped the knitting needle. So anyhow, no, thank you so much, Michelle. Mm-hmm. That was great. And yeah, fantastic Jiminy theories. Cricket's parents.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. You're right. You're absolutely right. You're
excellent.
Absolutely right.
That thank would you make so sense. Much. And here's the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. It's Brenda from Hypeville, Tennessee. Was just curious to see what you all thought about what Rumpel has in store for the hair that he kept from Snow's head. Do you think it's possible that he's going to make another potion to reverse the spell and make her remember exactly who Prince Charming is? Because if not, and she keeps forgetting who he is, then they won't get together, and then Emma can't be born to be the savior. So just wanted to see what you all thought about that. Have an awesome day. Bye.
Hey, Brenda.
Hey.
She was in a storm.
Yes, she was. Tornado warning, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and I tweeted out. I just wanted to check on her the next day, and she was okay. That's so, good.
I grew up in Tornado Alley, and so I remember those things when I was a child. They're scary as heck.
Yeah.
And now we're in earthquake country, and that's equally scary because you never know when they're coming. You at least get somewhat of a warning most of the time with tornadoes.
True.
Anywho. This is hilarious because didn't we just talk about this a little bit ago?
True.
And what cracks me up is I swear to you upon everything, fiber of my being, I have not heard any of these voicemails. Right. I haven't read none of that. I have no idea. So I purposely don't do that so I can kind of be surprised and not have preconceived notions. So that's amazing that she has the exact same theory.
Well, but let's kind of dig a little deeper to what she's saying is let's say Rumpelstiltskin does create a potion.
Yeah.
That will allow her to remember.
Right.
Not fall in love.
Nope,
because
just
that, that's
right.
He established that.
He can't, he didn't want
but
to do that.
But he can't bring back someone who died.
Right.
And you can't make a potion to have somebody fall in love with you.
Which, does that sound familiar to anybody all of a sudden?
Was it Love Potion number 9 or something or what?
Oh, no. Disney.
Yeah.
Aladdin. He said, 3 wishes. Sure. I can't make anybody fall in love with you. I can't bring anybody back from the dead. And I can't do something else. And now I've all of a sudden lost the third one. But point is those two are absolutely the genie's wishes.
Now, if I remember
rules
right,
on the wishes, I should
if,
say.
If I remember right, in the next week's little logo, I think I saw the genie.
It looked kind of like that, didn't it?
Yeah.
Looked a little bit like that.
Because I noticed that the little Aladdin's lamp has kind of been prominently moved to the front of him and that kind of thing.
Of course.
So I asked Rumpel Gold on Twitter and I said, what's up with the lamp? He says, can't tell you, dearie. Don't want to spoil it.
Exactly.
And another thing, too, is I think I saw, and I may post it and people may think I'm crazy, but you know. I think I saw a picnic basket behind the glass case in Mr. Gold's shop. That was behind a croquet set.
Oh, interesting. And now that you mention it, I vaguely recall seeing that. And do you suppose it's from Alice?
Could be.
That's what I'm thinking.
Could be Alice.
The croquet set would be Alice.
Initially, I was thinking that the picnic basket was something that maybe Red would be carrying around.
Which,
but
by the
way, it looks like she already has a basket
that's
kind of open. So.
And that's what she did in the story, too, by the way. And let me just tell you something. Let me just say this. Megan Ori looked ridiculously beautiful in the fairy tale world. I loved that she didn't have the bright red lipstick on. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Not that she doesn't look good with it, but she looked freakishly pretty in fairy tale world.
She's very
that's what
pretty.
I know. But I'm just saying, she's a beautiful young lady. And I think
when I created her character page on the site, I had a tough time picking a picture. I don't think she can take a bad picture. Yeah, I really don't think
she's,
so.
She's very photogenic. And I loved her dress. I thought that was just gorgeous.
Yeah. Yep.
And Rumpel, you know, I love him.
I know.
He was wearing some pretty snug leather pants on that dock there.
Okay.
I'm just
saying. You can have your Rumpel moment. That's fine. Okay. So let's talk about this for a second, though. Brenda mentioned about the hair and the potion and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, what I loved about, and the people that don't like Lost just tune me out for a second. What I loved about Lost was the big moral questions that they really put to you.
Yep.
Is, if you had the opportunity to start over, would you change your life?
Second chance?
Would you fix something?
Yeah.
Would you get rid of something? Would you make different choices if you had the opportunity to? And so with the potion to forget.
Yeah.
You know, she wanted to take it right away.
Yes,
you know,
she did.
And I said it before, and I know I'm repeating myself, but I loved Grumpy's speech.
Oh, dude.
About
just
the importance of pain. Now, look, I understand that, you know, pain in certain situations is a very bad thing, and I get that. But on the other hand, disappointment in life is part of life.
Can we get a little personal here about that? Because I think that it will drive home the point of what you're saying. I don't want to say anything if you're not up for talking about your previous life.
Well, okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so Jeff and I met a little later in our lives than I think a lot of people do. I mean, we both talk about the fact that we wish we'd been in our 20s when we met, but we honestly were a little older. And so I had never been married before, but Jeff has. And, you know, sadly enough, things don't always work out.
Right.
So, I know that that's a painful thing, and I used to be really, really frustrated, and I still am because, you know, I feel bad that you went through the pain. But on the other hand, exactly like Grumpy said, it made you who you are.
Right.
I would not have fallen in love with you, and I don't think I would have married you if you hadn't gone through what you did, because it made you who you are.
Right. I appreciate things now.
Right.
And so it balances you because you know wrong choices or choices that you thought were right, and then what comes of that. But when things are good, you say, this is good. I know this is good. And so,
right.
You know, it's that whole idea of would I want to take that away? So,
and see, that's the thing. Like I said, I don't like the fact that you went through the pain you
right,
did.
Right.
But I'm also glad you did because you are who you are. And that's what I love about you. And mm-hmm. it's just who you are. So that's our little sappy part. And then to kind of go tie in with the Disney people, anybody who loves Disney, back in the early 90s, before you and I met, I had a roommate. She works at Disneyland. She still works there. And so she and I would go a lot of times to the fun events and stuff. And they had this brand new parade called Light Magic. Don't know if anybody's ever seen that or heard of it, but Light Magic, which was a really nice parade, but there was something about it she and I just couldn't put our finger on. It was all about, you know, these dreams, you know, the characters had, Mickey, you know, and it was just dreams, and it was fairies, and it was very Celtic, and they used fiber optic lights, and it was this really new technology, and blah, blah, blah. But the thing is we couldn't put our finger on what was wrong with it. And so she came back home from work the day after we saw the premiere, which we saw it before anybody else ever saw it. And she said, oh my gosh, all the guys and I were sitting around talking, and we realized what it is. It's because there's no conflict. It's all happy. There's no sad. There's no tragedy. There's no good versus evil. It's just this happy Stepford parade. Hmm. And the reality is that Michael Eisner, who was at that time, you know, in charge of everything Disney, talked to Mike Davis, if I remember correctly, was his name. He was the head of like entertainment and for Disney. All the Disney stuff. And Eisner basically told him, you have 3 months to fix this parade or I'm yanking it. Hmm. Let me just tell you something. If you've never heard of it, that's why. It's because it got yanked. And the cast members used to refer to it as slight tragic because it was terrible. And not because it was a bad parade, like there was anything horrible about it. It was just not a good parade. There was no, like I said, conflict. There was no resolution, none of that. It was just all happy, sappy, you know, Stepford. Right. On the other hand, Fantasmic, which is an amazing show, has been playing since, what, 92, 93?
Right.
Maybe even earlier. But bottom line is, it's still running.
Right.
And it's amazing. And it's because there is good and evil. And so, again.
Well,
You have to have the pain
right.
to appreciate
so, the good. So this is what I think. If there is such a potion, I think that Grumpy will step in at that point and say, sometimes life is about taking the hard way.
Yeah.
And this is the easy way.
So
give that to me, and I want you to get to know James on your own time. Yeah. And let's not, you know, because I honestly do, I think that's where they're going to go. I could be totally wrong, but that is, to me, a more romantic way to kind of bring it all around, especially if we're going to go 8-9 seasons.
Right. I mean,
so.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I will say this. We already talked about the fact that Lee Ehrenberg is amazing. Grumpy is far wiser than you would think.
Right. Well, and
just saying.
Yeah. And Lee is just a great actor and he's a very, very nice guy. You know, we've had so many great interactions with the dwarves.
We have.
On Twitter, they're just fantastic people. And so, anyway, but here's the next voicemail.
Hi, guys. My name is Jonathan. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, originally from Indiana. Just wanted to say that I love your show. It is January 25th, 2012, and I just found out about your podcast along with a couple others, and so far I like yours the best. Pretty much, you know, I respect, you know, how the other listeners want short recaps of the episodes, but me, I like both short and long recaps of episodes, things of series I love like Lost and Once Upon a Time and Grimm and other shows I won't get into. But me and my roommates have been throwing back theories like you guys have and the other listeners on characters and everything else. And back to the recap, me personally, you know, it doesn't matter if it's long or short, recaps of each individual episode, as long as it's good, I don't care. And I agree with you about how people need to leave reviews that are, you know, if it's a bad one, you know, like you said, leave enough room in there for you guys to change it up, but not to the point like that one person did. Also, you guys are talking about languages, translating it, speaking into other languages, your podcast. I have a couple friends who are from Africa. I don't know what languages they speak. I'll ask them, and if you guys haven't gotten any of the African nation, African languages yet, let me know, and I'll see if I can find out what language they speak and see if they wouldn't mind transcribing it onto a recorder I have in my iPhone. I'll send it to you guys. Let me know. I'll talk to you guys later. Keep up the great work, as always. Bye.
Thank you so much, Johnson. What a great call.
I thought he said Jonathan.
He may have said Jonathan.
I thought I heard Jonathan.
Okay, we'll go with Jonathan, and if it's not that, I'm sorry. I read this transcription from Google Voice,
which,
and it's wrong
way,
most of the time.
It's really
I'm
bad.
I'm sorry, yeah. Jonathan.
Know what it is? Anyway, yeah.
So,
it's Jonathan is what I heard.
Yes, that's what we'll go with.
Yep.
So anyway, thank you so much. And what's cool about Once Upon a Time fans, they have choices, and it's great. And we talked about it before. It's like ice cream. You have choices out there.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
True.
That's not a bad problem to have choice.
Right.
But what's interesting is this show has evolved over time.
Yeah.
I don't think we have particularly did any type of recap for a while.
I can tell you, honestly, the last recap I remember talking about was for... Snowfalls.
No, I think it was Price of Gold or something like
Price
that.
Price of Gold, maybe, or so, the Shepherd at a real quick.
Yeah,
there was like one or two sentences, but anyway.
So the point is that we kind of the show is the show, and mm-hmm. that's what's kind of interesting about it. So it's when I first started, I had this kind of template idea that we would do certain things in a certain order.
Yeah.
And we got some feedback and we changed that situation. And then it is what it is now.
Well, that's partly because, again, it comes back to the fact that our listeners also kind of drive the content of the show a little bit.
And,
you know, I mean, we're the hosts, we're the facilitators, but it's up to the listeners to provide us kind of a little bit of a direction after we've addressed our, you know, things that we want to talk about.
I have always felt like this is a shared show.
It is.
So.
It is.
Anyway.
And you're right. Looking back on our first couple of shows, we're not doing anything even remotely close to what we did in the first couple of shows.
No. That's good.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Not that the shows were bad. I don't regret it. But what I'm saying is it's nice to that we've
any podcaster will say their first episode just stinks. And, you know, so.
I don't think it stunk. I think it was just very stilted and very whatever. But anyway, bottom line is we've improved. I think we've improved our shows. I think our listeners would agree with that. And if they didn't think that way, they would tell us.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So
thank you for the voicemail.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And glad
yes,
you found us.
Yes, absolutely. We do still. I really do want to try a transcription situation into another language and see if we can't take this show worldwide,
right,
in another language. And you know, I'm really psyched about it.
And I don't think we have any African languages right now, which I would assume probably would be like maybe Senegalese or Swahili.
Yep. So
Egyptian.
So, Jonathan, please check into that for me.
Yeah.
And let's try a part of it or something.
I'm
very interested to see if this can happen.
Did the bit you had other folks translate into other languages, is that still out on the site?
Oh yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, I post them all on there.
Awesome.
To get to Google in other languages. So
I would say, Jonathan, if you're listening, you can either look out on the site and find the international stuff or just email our account and we can get back to you with where it is.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And you know, my first goal is to get the invitation translated. The second one is, I know it's a lot of work, but I at least want to ask, is if someone really wants to take the time to transcribe, maybe. I know that we have a listener working on the bullet points of the episodes. Yep. And even if those bullet points could be translated into another language, that could at least give somebody kind of an idea of what it is. So,
yes.
But anyway, yeah, this is not only a two-way street, but I think it's just a multi-level highway. That's really what this show is becoming, because it's about the love of the show, and everybody wants to help out. And it's really, it reminds me of the goodness of things like the 60s or the old Southern houses, where when somebody needed some help, everybody just kind of walked over and said, well, I can do this. Well, I can do that.
Yeah.
It warms my heart, because this is a huge, massive effort, but it's easier when folks, and we've mentioned a few, you know, just kind of pitch in and say, well, what do you need? Well, I can do this. Well, I can do that. And it's really, really incredible. So I'm so thankful for it.
Yes. So, we are indeed.
Here is our next voicemail.
Yay.
Hey, this is Tyler from Seattle calling again. This time it has to do with a potential prediction for the Beauty and the Beast episode, which will be airing right around Valentine's Day, if I remember right. Seeing as how I just actually am walking out of the theater from seeing the classic Disney movie, one of my favorites, I got thinking about a couple things that I'm going to predict. I haven't read any spoilers, so I don't know if these are going to be true or not. But my predictions are that the enchantress who cast the spell on the castle will turn out to either be Rumpelstiltskin or the Evil Queen. Probably a good bet on one of those two. And the other prediction is that when we see Belle and the characters in Fairy Tale World, it'll be before the big mob fight scene, because if the spell is cast after that, then there's no way Gaston theoretically would be in Storybrooke. But because we know he's going to be there, I think the spell will have been cast before the ending of Beauty and the Beast. So just thought I'd offer that as a prediction only. And yeah, if anyone hasn't gone and seen Beauty and the Beast in 3D yet, you really do need to. It doesn't have human again, but the ending credits were amazing. They had a bunch of the concept sketches for the characters, so I highly recommend it. Go see it, and especially because we'll have a week of no Once Upon a Time. Go see it then. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Tyler.
Yay!
And that's a good theory as well.
Yeah.
And I don't think I mentioned in the first thoughts, but I thought the guy that basically stopped Snow White with the flowers looked like Cogsworth.
Oh.
The hair and that kind of a thing.
Yeah, I think I remember, was it the clock? Said the clock, and right? You said Cogsworth.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I noticed there was two bakers.
Yes.
So anyway, it's just little things kind of stick out here and there.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. So, yeah, I think it's a very plausible theory. We'll have to just kind of see what happens, won't we?
Yep. So we have one more special voicemail.
Okay.
This has been a really interesting show. we're not on 10 tonight. I think I've had a couple of strikeouts here and there. So.
Oh, I don't think so. I think I've scared you more than anything else. I don't think you're used to this.
Okay.
Because normally I'm very mellow and very, like, you know, this.
Right.
But I'm very, like, I'm sitting back, I'm relaxed, I'm knitting, and I'm talking, and I'm enjoying myself, and I'm being sassy. And I am going to say it again, I'm being sassy.
Okay.
Because I'm feeling sassy.
Well, here's the final voicemail. Here we go.
Okay. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Tash from Canada.
And this is Malini from Texas.
We just want to leave you a voicemail together from the both of us. Thank you for taking us on this journey with you. We have been listening to the podcast since the first few episodes. Because of Once Upon a Time, it has brought a lot of fans together over Twitter. It has created a lot of friendships around the world, and we have created our own Once Upon a Time family.
And this Once Upon a Time fan family is us being a family, not only with the fans, but with the amazing cast and crew who takes us on a journey with their characters every week. We feel like we know them so well because of how warm and generous they are to the fans.
Once Upon a Time has been a phrase we have heard since we were little. All the classic fairy tales we first heard had started out with that phrase, from the stories of Snow White, Cinderella, and all those fairy tales and fables we've known from this day. We grew up forgetting about how it all felt to wish upon a star and believe in happy endings. When the show came to ABC, it woke us up, and it made us remember what it was like to be that little girl hoping one day we will fall in love with our very own Prince Charming.
We think that this podcast is an amazing way to bring people together with common interests and people who have theories. We know how much work and time goes into the podcast and blog, so we just wanted to let you know that we appreciate everything you're doing. So in our own small way, we have been trying to spread the word about the podcast because we think what you're doing is wonderful.
We're anticipating a new episode this Sunday, which is about Snow White and Prince Charming, and a lot of people on Twitter, including ourselves, are very excited about. We can't wait to hear from your thoughts and your feedback from the listeners on that episode and every episode after that.
So again, we just wanted to say thank you for an amazing podcast from two of your biggest fans in the States and in Canada. Bye.
Bye.
Wow.
Very sweet of the girls. Very sweet.
It's really
yeah.
It's really cool. Because you never know what's going to happen. When you start, you know, there's so much unknown, and
right.
But this is a family. It's sharing your heart, and it's really neat that we can bring people together. I'm so shocked that you know, I said it before. If somebody listens to one. That's pretty cool.
If one person listens to one, yeah, it's pretty amazing. But when we have people like Melina and Natasha,
yeah,
and
absolutely,
Tyler, and we have a bunch of other people that, you know, that do post things to us and tweet us and call and,
yeah, Brenda and Helga.
I mean, we could keep going on.
And what's really neat is there is this community, you know, Lisa's brought it up, and, mm-hmm, you know, Trista's also brought it up too.
Yeah.
We're building a community, and in this day, it's hard to come by.
It really is.
And it's
funny because we are building the community, like you said. And I think the question was asked because Melina and Natasha tend to tweet to each other quite a bit and,
yep,
to everybody else. And they're very active, and we love that about them. And, you know, it was like, well, so did you guys know each other? And, you know, as I said, one's in Texas, the other's in Canada. I don't think I'm positive they didn't know each other before this. Seriously,
yeah.
These two girls, they get along. They really seem to care about each other a lot, and they care about the show, and they care about the other fans and the other listeners of our podcast, and they seem to care about us quite a bit too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's amazing that just this little show has, you know, made friends between people who are, you know, on the podcast.
Right.
You know, and I can honestly say that I think I've made some pretty good friends with these ladies and,
yeah,
folks, gentlemen that have been on the, you know, the Twitter and checking in with us. And I mean, I'm knitting. I've started knitting.
Yeah.
I figured out how to knit because Helga encouraged me to do it, you know, and I really appreciate that. And she's very encouraging in what she's doing. And I've had a couple of other people who've, you know, said, oh, that's amazing. That's great. You know, it's really awesome. And I'm, again, it is a little overwhelming in a good way to know that these folks are part of our little family.
Yeah. Well, I thank Natasha and Melini so much for that that message. That was really, really cool. And you guys mean a lot to us and this show. And, you know, you're spreading the word. You know, I see it all, and I appreciate every bit of it. And it is a lot of work.
Yeah.
But, You know,
it's worth it.
But there's so many people that are kind of helping in and stepping in and you know, doing what they can. And it's a group effort. But, you know, always know, you know, what I do, the decisions I make and all that. This crazy idea. Let me interview the knitter of the blanket, you know, and just... You know, and that's what I told her on the show. I said, now, you probably thought I was a nut, you know, trying to get a hold of you to record an interview.
Yep.
But that was the one that's a radio station linked to.
Yep.
So, you know, the listeners of this show are the best listeners ever.
They are. They really are.
I am constantly blown away by some of the iTunes reviews that I read. That say it's such a positive community, mm-hmm. because that was one of the things that we really wanted to do, is just be positive about the show, mm-hmm.
And about each other, and
right.
just have a really fun time with it and
right.
make some new friends. And I just don't have any words right now.
Yeah. So, thanks so much. We really, really, really appreciate it. And, you know, sometimes podcasting is like boxing. there are some rounds that you're up and you're ahead, and sometimes you're down. But you know what? This is the funnest ride ever because we love the show. Mm-hmm. And just like Malini said too, the cast is just so warm, so friendly, so kind. And it add it all together and you've got something really incredible. So
you could almost say it's magical.
It is.
And I don't mean that to be cheesy. It kind of is.
Right. And it never ceases to amaze me that we'll get another voicemail from somebody who I've never heard from. I have never got an email from.
Right.
Or whatever. And they'll say, you know, I've been listening to you since the first episode.
Yeah.
And, you know, this and that. And it's just... It's wild because sometimes you think, I don't know if anybody's out there, you know.
Well, we do know people are out there. We know there are some. And, I don't think we really truly realize how many people really are actually
true.
Out there.
Yeah.
Because we don't hear from everybody. I'm pretty confident of that. It'd be nice to hear from some new folks too, just so we know you're there. But we love our listeners. We love our faithful ones, you know, our little family.
It's yeah.
pretty awesome.
Well, I could keep going, and I want to end up like this, is we've only just begun, to quote my mom's favorite group. We've only just begun. This is only the beginning. We care about you guys so much, and we're going to do the best we can to just keep expanding what we do here. And so thank you, thank you, thank you so much. For your kind thoughts and tweets and emails and voicemails and iTunes reviews. It means so much.
It really does.
I've got plenty more ideas, and we're going to put them in place, and we're really going to move. So, I care about you guys, and mm-hmm. So we're going to keep this thing moving. So the live show's next. So
yeah, that's the Saturday night.
That's going to be some fun. And
7 p.m. Pacific time.
And we're going to be using Mixlr, and I'll put a little link out there. So anyway, big love to everybody. Mm-hmm. Big love to Canada. Big love to Brazil. I know we got some folks from Brazil listening.
Nice.
Big love around the world. And you guys, we think of you on Sunday night watching the show.
We do.
So we're thinking about you and writing as fast as we can when we're watching the episode.
Yep.
So thanks so much, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
See you guys. Bye.